Hey guys, welcome to Can I Take Your Order, our restaurant weekly podcast. Basically, we're servers at a restaurant and we tell you the truth, the lowdown dirty shame. I'm Ebony.
And I'm Ivory. And basically what we're going to tell people is what goes on in restaurants. You know, they've written books about it. They did movies about it. You know, let's do a podcast about it.
Real talk.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we'll basically tell you, you know, what we do, what you guys do, especially as customers. You know, how hard you make our lives. You know, you think that everything's so easy. You know, let's go from both sides of this.
I'm talking front of the house and back of the house. What goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I was, for example, I was mentioning that they've written a book about it. There was a book called Waiter Rant, and, you know, it talks about what goes on in restaurants and everything, and I haven't had a chance to read it. Have you?
No, I haven't, but I could tell you I probably wouldn't want to eat out after that.
You know what, though? It's not bad to eat out at certain places, you know, as long as you know what you're doing. You know, a lot of people feel, okay, you know, oh, I'm going to send my food back, and then all of a sudden, you know, oh, I hope they don't spit in it. It's like, all right, you guys watch too many movies because you think that's exactly what's going to happen, and it's not.
I mean, not anymore, at least.
No, but definitely not anymore.
I'll throw it out there. Eat at your own risk.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Nah, I'm just messing with you guys.
I can't believe that. Nah, we've been in the business for a long time. It took a lot of time thinking about how we should do this podcast, and it would be a great idea. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to give it a chance for people who want to just, you know, vent about what they deal with.
Yes.
You know, customers and employees as well. You know, we also have an email address, and what is that? It's
restaurantweekly@yahoo.com, so feel free to hit us up.
Yeah, send us an email, and if you ever just want to talk about something, you know, experience, complaint, anything, you know, we're more than welcome to it. I mean, you know, you have Yelp, for example, is where you could send in your reviews. And, you know, what sucks about Yelp, I feel, is you go in there, you go on that site, and most of the time you really see a lot of complaints about places.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know, part of me, for example, I don't go to a restaurant and I'm thinking, I'm going to Yelp this place later and talk about how great my experience is. But if I have a bad experience, I can't wait to Yelp about that.
Sometimes,
and just tell people about how bad of a time I had.
You got to put it out there and you really got to let them know, because, I mean, a restaurant that actually does check Yelp, they would take those comments into, you know, account and try to switch some things up, service-wise or even food-wise. But, yeah, I mean, some people come out and they plan to have a bad meal before they even eat. I mean, let me tell you one experience I had. I'm talking about a table. As soon as I go over there, I greet them, I let them know, you know, the specials, and the first thing my man wants to do is start complaining. Before he even has his food, he wants to complain about the bread. The bread's cold. It's doughy. It's not cooked. All right, I guess you're the chef, so you're just going to put me in my place and tell me now. But some of the times, you just have to bite the bullet, guys. You know, you just have to roll up your sleeves and go with the punches. It's tough, but, you know, got to make money out there.
Yeah, the best, man. There have been so many times you catch someone who's in a bad mood and they sit down.
It's terrible.
Oh, man, it's horrible. Like yesterday, for example, I'm taking an order. I didn't even say hello yet. And I got the lady snapping her fingers. And it's like, oh, that's the worst thing right there. Don't snap your fingers.
Two things, no-nos. Do not snap your fingers and do not call me, hey, you.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do the hey yous anymore.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
It's either sir, mister, waiter. I'll even take waiter, but once you start saying, hey, guy, hey, bud, and I'm not your bud, by the way. Don't call me buddy. Don't
what about
call
hey,
me pal?
Pal.
That's another pet peeve of mine. Pal and even friend. I mean, but...
Nah, friend's all right.
I guess you're trying to come
up. Yeah, they're
trying
to be nice about that. But the lady just looks at me, doesn't even say hello, and was like, you got specials? It's like, yes, we do, but can I say hello first?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
It's called a greeting, an introduction period.
Yeah.
Makes things a little more
comfortable. And then they sat here for like 3 hours, so it was more like...
That's terrible.
Damn, were you in that much of a rush?
Yeah.
So, man, what made you want to go into restaurants?
Oh, man, I'll tell you right now. I started working at my first restaurant I started working at. I was 15 years old, and I was a busboy, believe it or not. It was a German spot. It was all right. You know, I learned a lot, but I'll tell you this much. I guess I had a passion. I developed a passion for it at an early age, and it just made me want to stick with it. The passion has to be there, guys, because if you're not in it to win it, your heart has to be there. you're not going to be happy with this job. So I'll tell you right now, just you probably want to shy away from the field if you can't have a tough skin for people and deal with them and, you know, get things across. But communication is the key.
No, definitely. I agree. You know, I've been in the business, I'd say, for maybe 14 years, I'd say now. Ooh. And I did start at the very bottom as a dishwasher. And I'll tell you, though, it is it's very different, you know, from what you do. You know, it's you got to have a passion for doing it for a long time. You got to enjoy what you do. You know, I did my time in college and everything, and you know, some people are making careers out of this now, and it's something enjoyable for themselves. That if you have a drive for this, you want to do it.
Absolutely. So let me tell you about an experience I had not too long ago. I was at a hibachi steakhouse.
Oh, that's the place where they cook in front of you, right?
Yeah, you know, the Asian Oriental gentlemen, they perform the cuisines right in front of you. It's pretty funny. My guy was real wired up or something. I don't know if he was drunk or just over-caffeinated, but let me tell you right now, he was swishing and dishing. My man cracked an egg. He took out the steak. He put the rice on the side, and he was just flipping it. Next thing I know, I had broccoli in my mouth, and it was the best thing ever.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I've been to those places too. It is funny. You know, they put on a show for you, which, you know, it's when you're with restaurants, it's more of an entertainment experience than anything. You know, you're there to entertain the customer. You know, you want to make sure that they're enjoying themselves. You're there to cater to their needs.
Hey, any chef that'll throw broccoli at my face, he wins.
There you go. But, you know, you're any place you go to eat, you're entertained by the server. And you've got to understand that. And it goes both ways. It goes towards customers also. They got to understand that, you know, they're not there to basically kiss your ass the whole time. But they are there to cater to your needs because you're paying for their services. And I'll tell you, the worst is when you have a customer that doesn't understand that you're not their slave. You're there to do your job for them and get things for them. Not to basically, you know, walk their dog or clean up after their child.
Some of it's just ridiculous. I mean, that just goes back to eating out 101.
I'll tell you, though, the worst time I see is you bring in some families and the children, you know, it's so disobedient how they can act. You know, they're running around crazy. And number one, it's dangerous. You know, they're running around. You got people carrying drinks. You got people carrying hot food. You know, it's something that can really, you know, you got a lawsuit as a possibility.
Yes.
You crash into a child and spill something on them, it can happen.
Oh, man.
I mean, I remember one time I was bringing a plate to a kid, and the kid grabs the plate out of my hand, and I try to snatch it back at the last second, and he realizes the plate's so hot, and he just lets go, and the plate, everything falls off it, and he just starts crying. And the worst thing is, when you warned him, it was like, don't touch the plate, you know, and the parents immediately think, they're not paying attention. They really don't care.
And that's back to if you don't have your kids in check, don't bring them out. It's not a place, you know, for them to play at. It's not the playground, guys. It's not the cafeteria. Can't throw food. Can't write on the walls.
Writing on the walls. Yeah, I'm waiting today that I see a child just drawing on the walls like they would at home in a restaurant.
I've seen some crazy shit.
And then pointing at them, yeah, mommy, dad, look, I did a Picasso on the wall. There was one time I saw these children, and they're licking the glass to lead to our outside of the restaurant.
Wow.
And the kids are licking the glass. So the waiter, he's getting frustrated. So he goes over and he starts cleaning the wall, the windows. And he's using ammonia, ammonia, like Windex.
Yeah.
He's cleaning it, and the kid goes right back to licking it.
Oh,
he looks at the
man.
Parent, and he goes, do you know that we're using Windex with ammonia? And the parent just doesn't care. It's oblivious, like, it's all right.
Little Johnny will be okay.
yeah, swallow a little Windex, you know, flush it down with your chocolate milk, you'll be fine.
That's what the hospital's for.
Yeah, exactly. But then you see these times where they just basically turn into an all-out food fight.
Yeah, and that really gets me going. I mean, if you can't control your kids when it comes to simple things like using your forks to eat, guys, come on. That's a sign right there. Don't take them out.
Oh, but I tell you, it's so funny, though. You get out, and it looks like World War II. There's food, there's a plate, there's everything's all over the floor. It's like, how did they get that under the table? You know, kid throws a piece of broccoli at the dad, it hits him, he doesn't even bother picking up.
But to top it off, I hate it when the family's leaving and they say, I'm sorry, but little Johnny made a little mess. That really gets me. That really puts me over the top right
there.
You
know, I've seen times, though, there have been times parents will be like, give me a broom. Let me clean it up. You know what, though? I'll tell you, if a parent ever does that, I try to be like, no. You know, I got I got a very good friend. He's got two kids. And I remember one time we went out to dinner. And the kid, you know, he's 3 years old. You can't get mad at a kid.
Understandable.
Kids are going to be kids. They're going to make a mess. They do it, you know. He grabs a broom and starts sweeping it up. Next thing you know, the manager comes over. And he gets angry at the server. Because he's like, why are you making a customer clean up their mess?
Yeah.
I understand that as, you know, parents want to clean up for their children. But, you know, the manager was in the wrong. The customer insisted on cleaning.
I mean,
you can't.
Even if you tell them you'll take care of it, but they're trying to snatch a broom out of your hand, I guess you got to make the customer happy and give them what they want, the broom, I guess, right?
That's exactly right. No matter what you deal with, you got to remember always that the customer is always right.
So, guys, let me just tell you a little story which happened a couple of days ago when I was at work. So, older couple comes in. I'm talking 80s, 90s. They were sitting at my table. We open up at 11:30. I want to say they came in at 11:35, and it started off all good. They were very nice, sweet couple. Started off some coffee, some food. Next thing I know, it's 3:30. All right, guys, come on, really? You can't go out to a restaurant for the whole day and expect for everything to be all good. When the server comes back, can I get you guys anything else? No, we're just chatting. Haven't seen each other in 20 years. Not my problem, guys. Take it to the diner. Don't want to hear it.
And if you're noticing, we can't reveal the name of like where we work, or we shouldn't reveal our own personal names. We don't know who could possibly listen, and it was recommended to us by a lot of our employees
and my lawyer, too.
Our coworkers. Yeah, don't reveal your name. Don't reveal, you know. So we always want to keep this very anonymous. So especially if you send in an email to restaurantweekly@yahoo.com, you want to keep your real name. That's fine, but we will not reveal your real name. Any employees that we're going to probably be interviewing in the near future, we're going to probably give them a nickname or something like that. You know, he's going by Ebony and I'm going by Ivory. And eventually people are going to possibly realize who we are. But we just want to keep that as a personal, you know, keep it confidential as of right now. You know, like I say, you never know who's going to hear it. You don't know who you're going to offend.
And if we do blow, I want to keep all the money. I don't want to share it to all the people that I jot their names in my little stories.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. But it's, you know, you could be complaining about a customer, and all of a sudden they could be like, yo, have you heard this podcast? And they're like, man, I tell you, they're ripping on people. And then it's like, do you know we were talking about you?
Wait a minute. That story sounds a little familiar now.
Yo, who are these guys doing this? Yeah, I mean, I understand that whole thing with the camping, but, you know, it happens. I mean, it's so funny. A long, long time ago, I was going through some old videotapes, and I used to love doing videography, and it's something I, you know, do as a side project. And I found a video of myself and all my friends in a diner, though. And we're videotaping. And it's about a good hour and a half's worth of footage. Just
how far are we going back?
Oof. High school, man.
Okay. 90s.
Oh, definitely. And we were videotaping a whole bunch of crazy shit. And we were laughing. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, damn. We were camping at this table for a minute. I'm looking in the, and I'm looking at the background, and I see the server giving the evil eye at us. And
What did you guys order? Two cups of coffee?
No. We had food and everything. But it's just, I look at the video, and I'm just thinking in my head, like, back then. Because back then, I was honestly a buster, and I was learning about the industry. And you realize, like, holy shit, these people, like, this guy probably wanted to kill us.
Oh, man.
You
know? Teenagers camping all day, drinking coffee. Man.
You
know, Why not?
We're wired. Smoking. This is when you were allowed to smoke in New Jersey, actually.
Oh, man, we're going back now.
Yeah. So you're allowed to smoke in a diner. So we're going nuts and everything. And we just couldn't, you know, I couldn't stop laughing watching this.
Oh,
not
man.
To mention how bad we all looked. But, yeah, you know, you want to sit for a while. I remember seeing I think it was a flyer or something like that, talking about certain things that you should leave as gratuities.
And absolutely.
If you're sitting for a long period of time, you should leave an extra gratuity to compensate that, because you're taking up a server's table. Basically, it doesn't matter if they have open tables or not. You know, you're there for, let's say, 3 hours. And now you should leave more money because you're making that person stick around to keep an eye on you, to basically see, oh, do you need another drink? Do you need anything? Maybe you want to get more food. You got to accommodate that where they should be paid for that time. It's not there just standing there watching you.
For all you know, they could have got off at 4 o'clock and it's 5 o'clock. You're just keeping them around for nothing.
Yeah.
To fill up coffee a couple of times.
You do have some people who have that attitude where, hey, are you getting off soon? Can we take care of the bill? Things like that. A lot of people are considerate, but then a lot of people aren't.
I mean, as long as the customer can take it into account, it's cool with me.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely feel so. I feel it's different at a bar, though.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you're at a bar, you're going to keep ordering drinks and talking and everything. It's a different kind of atmosphere.
And on top of that, you can't really rush anybody out of a bar. I mean, what are you going to have, 2 drinks and rush them out in 20 minutes? Come on.
No, definitely. When you're at a table, though, the whole point of people expect is you're going to dine, eat, pay the bill, you're done. Probably dessert, you know, whatever. You're at a bar, it's basically, you're going to be sitting there, you're going to be ordering drinks, and you just can't keep going. And it's a little bit different for the bartender, because all they have to do is keep their eye on, and then the second they see the drink empty, they know to fill it back up.
That's all. Nothing to it but to do it.
You know, I tell you, man, I want to get a Phelps on the on our podcast.
Oh, man.
No, the reason why, man, we had a situation. The customer gets annihilated, and I'm bartending, but he looks out for me. He comes out of left field and helps save my ass, and I can't get into the story without him. He made me promise not to tell the story unless he was here.
All right, we can hold that into a
later
date. We
got to get him into it. You know, thinking of bartending, man, this guy came out. This guy was on point, and, you know, he helped me out a lot with that one.
Yeah.
So, what's this? You've been doing this for a pretty long time, I see.
I want to say going on 6 years.
And you're going to school for this, too?
Yeah. Actually, I'm a hospitality major, so...
Oh, that's awesome.
I think this is going to be my line of work for my career, if it works out.
Good, man. I was feeling the same way, you know, when I was taking up computers and everything. I was taking up computers and I started to get bored. Like, do I really want to sit at a desk for the rest of my life, or do I want to, you know, start pursuing restaurants? And that's when I found out I was into bartending and I started to enjoy it. And then I just kept pursuing everything. That's why you see, like, I do everything now. It just doesn't matter to me anymore.
Hey. So let me tell you guys another story. If you do work in restaurants, you will know that there's the front of the house and the back of the house. Front of the house usually consists of the bartenders, the hosts, the servers, management. Back of the house now we have the cooks, line cooks, prep cooks, dishwashers. So basically, there's a common line between the two, but at the end of the day, it's a team effort and you guys really have to work together. But there are many things that the back of the house does that drives me crazy.
What's that?
Oh, man. Okay, let's start off with... They come into the front of the house and they just use all of the items in our fridge. They don't restock and they get mad when we run out. Come on, guys. You work here too. You know where we keep all the inventory at. Go downstairs to dry storage. Take care of it. Don't come at me bitching and complaining about filling up the sugar again because you needed to make the creme brulee. That's not my problem. But at the end of the day, it is my problem because if I do need it, like I said before, it's teamwork.
Wow, you just wanted to batter the kitchen right there.
I love those guys, but at the same time, I do want to strangle them. But I do love them, though.
Yeah, you know, it's a family thing, you know. And
love-hate relationship all the way.
You know, it's the you always have your problems with kitchen. No matter what restaurant you work in, you're always going to have confusion between the kitchen, the front of the house, and the back of the house. A customer doesn't know what they order, and they make a mistake. You're going to have the kitchen get angry because they got to make that order again. And it can be frustrating. I've been on the line for a minute, and you get into that zone where you got 20, 30 tickets, and you're like, you know, you're in that zone, and you know what you're making. And then all of a sudden, stop everything. You got to remake this.
Yep.
It throws your whole world off because now you're like, what the fuck just happened? Now I got to refix this order because some douchebag doesn't know what they ordered.
Absolutely.
First thing I'm going to do is get pissed off at the server because you know why? You're there. Yeah, I can't yell at the customer, but I can yell at you. And it's happened numerous times. It's the same thing when you're bartending. You're making a drink and they're like, you got a ton of tickets at the service bar or something. And a customer goes, the server comes over and he goes, they didn't like this. Man, I've seen I've seen bartenders flip. I've seen a bartender one time throw a drink at the server.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's a no-no.
Fully loaded drink.
That's a no-no.
I wasn't working there. I was actually a customer.
Wow.
And I was sitting at the bar, and we are there, and I'm with a couple of friends, and all you hear the server go, server comes over all polite, man, and he goes, hey, I forgot, I don't even know the guy's name, we'll call him Tommy. He goes, hey, Tommy, they didn't like the mimosa. This guy grabs whatever drink he had in his hand and flings it at the server.
Oh, man, waste a mimosa like that?
All-out brawl breaks out. Ooh. It's ridiculous. And myself, me and my friends were just watching, and we were like, holy shit. You know? It was crazy. And it's just, you got to deal with that. Yeah, same thing with the kitchen. They want to look at that. You want to look at the person that has that problem, and you want to just blame them. But then the customer will be like, "Well, I didn't like this," and then they'll start thinking in their head, "Wait a minute, did the server make that mistake?" A lot of times, the customer understands. You know, it's not the server's fault. The kitchen or the bar, they made the mistake.
Just take the order.
Yeah, but. It's the same concept now. You're the person that they see. So immediately, they're going to be the one blaming you for that. And some customers understand it, some don't. Some of the customers will be like, wait a minute, you're the one taking my order. I'm blaming you for this. And they get a little angry about it.
That just goes back to communication, basically. I mean, you guys have to be on the same page from the get. So if you do start off on the wrong foot, just be truthful. Tell them the truth. I mean, at the end of the day.
Oh, bullshit, dude. I don't tell the truth at my table. I lie to my table. Oh. But first, if I make a mistake at the table, I tell the customer that the kitchen made the mistake. It doesn't matter if it's my fault. And then I'll reverse it. If I make the mistake, I tell the kitchen it's the customer's mistake, man. No person wants to blame
you. So you blame poor little Rodrigo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
You mean to tell me you ain't gonna blame the kitchen? I'll admit, sometimes if I make a real mistake, I'll be like, you know, it's my fault. But I'll tell you, man, listen, when you're busy and you just wanna go right in and be like, you know, I gotta get this shit fixed quick, the first thing you think of, you know what, they're gonna kill me if I tell them I fucked up. You know what, the customer didn't know what they wanted. You know, you gotta get.
Poor Pablo.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor Pablo, what he has to deal with every day.
I mean, you tell the customer, I'm sorry, you know, the kitchen fucking sucks.
That's why they call him the back of the house. Yeah. They don't need to be seen for a reason.
But then you just want to, you know, you get into that zone where, you know, I lie a lot to them. I'll tell them, you know, it's, hey, what can I say? You know, the best is when you forget to ring in an order.
Oh man. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah. All right, what do you tell them when you realize, oh shit, I fucked up this order? What do you tell the table?
If I was put on the spot like that by my table, excuse me, my food, it's taking a little while to, you know, get to me. I ordered it about 30 minutes ago. Sir? The kitchen is extremely backed up right now, and they're working on it really fast. So
you're not even that busy. There's a bunch of open tables around. What do you tell them then?
Yeah, there was a slight mess up in the kitchen. Pablo cooked your steak rare when you wanted it well done. Sorry about that.
You also got it. Now, the best one, a couple of good ones I've used. These are some good excuses. Number one is our printer broke down, and you know, we got it fixed, and they got a hold of me, so we got your order coming.
Power issues, okay. You know,
definitely. The best one I ever used, and I used this one, it just came right off the dome a couple of weeks ago. I ring in their order, and I forget to ring in one of the entrees for the table. And the food goes out, and I realize, fuck. Now, the order only takes a couple of minutes to make, so I know I'm cool with that. But I'm thinking in my head, I got to get this food out to the table. So the first thing I think, if I walk out to the table, and without skipping a beat, I go, don't worry, man, we didn't forget about you, but I got some bad news. The other guy was carrying your food, and he fell.
Oh.
My table immediately. Oh my God, is he all right?
They take the attention off of you.
Yeah, they think it's the worst thing ever. So they're like, oh my God, is he all right? Is he all right? So I'm like, no, he's fine. Now I forget to tell the guy what happens. He's following me with two other plates though.
Oh no.
They're looking at him like, are you okay? Are you okay? And the guy doesn't speak English, so he's like, what the fuck?
Okay.
Pulling me aside, he goes, what happened? I was like, yo, you fell. So now he's pissed. He's pissed at me. So I pulled this out. I'm like, listen, I made a mistake, man. I need you to cover for me for this one.
Sometimes, you know, you just have to blame the guy that they're not going to see.
But I'll tell you, though, the lie worked. That lie set me free that day. Because I realized, I was like, damn, I fucked up this whole table.
Oh, man, no lie set you free. You know that.
Oh, bullshit. Hey, it saved me right there. Because they realized that it didn't fuck anything up. And, you know, they went away happy, which was a good thing. But I'll tell you, though, I hate using that lie unless I really, really have to. But, you know, it's actually become one of my favorite excuses in case I screw up. That's, like, my new one to go to now. You know, because they felt bad and everything. So it kind of worked out. You know, if you got a bunch of excuses that you want to share with us, email them to us at restaurantweekly@yahoo.com. And let us know what kind of excuses you've used and how they worked out for you. Because we'd really like to hear about them. We'll talk about them on our podcast. So the location we're at, we deal with a lot of foreigners. You know, we're in a heavily tourist attraction community.
Foreigners. Now, I understand you're not from the country, and it might be a little different when you come into a restaurant in America. But basically, I'm pretty sure the same guidelines apply everywhere you go. Don't ask to sit in the booth if you only have two people in your party.
See, but you know what, though? That also applies to regular people, too, man.
You're right.
You know, a lot of people just want to sit where they want to sit comfortably, and it can be very much of a pain in the ass, especially when you got a full restaurant, and you want to try to accommodate the most space available.
Yeah, don't want to lose business because of you and your wife.
Yeah, I remember one day I saw a table walk out because we couldn't let them sit where they wanted to. They got mad because of the table they were at. They walk out and they're like, "We're leaving." I'm like, "Are you fucking for real?"
Yeah, sometimes you just have to call their bluff. I mean,
is the food gonna taste better where you're sitting?
Apparently, I guess it does.
I've never eaten
a booth, and your pasta's gonna taste better.
Damn, I never thought that going out and, you know, getting my entree, like I never thought a burger would taste better sitting in a booth or something, you know.
I think the cushion on your back, you know, makes food taste a little bit better, probably.
You know, an old friend of mine told me he's going to write a book, and it's, I think the title was something like Douchebag's Guide to Eating Food Tastes Better in a Booth or something like that. You know, I got to get him on the show.
Hey, man. I'll tell you right now, I'll pick up that book. I'll even add a chapter.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy, though, that people just want to be accommodated wherever they go. And that's where, you know, I said earlier, you know, you're there to entertain the customer, so they want to be comfortable the whole time. And it's true, though. People want to have that comfort where they're at.
More or less, I see where you're coming from, but I'm not here to entertain you and your kids. Come out with your kids. I'm not playing tic-tac-toe for longer than 2 minutes.
There's a website a long time ago. I don't know if it's still active. I actually want to look into it. It's called bitterwaitresses.com.
Ooh.
And I learned about this a long, long time ago. And it was actually, I heard about it because one of my old regulars was mentioning it to me because our restaurant that I was at was listed about an employee complaining about a customer, basically how they tipped.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you, I saw a lot of celebrities on this website.
Wow.
Yeah. And it really kind of got to me. Howard Stern, for example, was on this website for being a cheap tipper.
Well, I'm not going to be...
And I couldn't stop laughing, though. Great, we're gonna have him send us an email telling us to go fuck ourselves. We're talking about him. But you know what, though? If you're a celebrity and you go out to tip, you know, you go out to eat and you tip like shit, you deserve to get bashed about it.
So I guess they're calling Howard Stern cheap.
He probably is. And one thing I noticed, we were at... I saw on Yahoo a while back, the guy, what was it, Eli Manning or Peyton Manning was out, and the guy took a picture of the check, the credit card.
Wow.
And posted it on the internet. And, the server was fired and everything. I felt that was an invasion of privacy.
It is.
Even though he actually left a good tip, but.
It is an invasion of privacy, but if Eli Manning did come into the restaurant and I was to serve him, I think I would ask for a picture at the end of the meal.
Yeah, but you know what, though? How many times have we dealt with celebrities? And we've had a couple of celebrities come in here, and, you know, you got to be modest with that. You can't get starstruck because that's not what they're here for.
Yeah, guys, I mean, they're normal people. They're coming out to eat and have a good time. Don't push up on them asking for an autograph before they even got their soda.
I remember we had it was a guy from a soap opera, and he used to come in, and I don't know who the hell this guy is, and apparently all the girls do. So,
figures.
One of the girls at the time is completely starstruck, freaking out, going nuts. And I'm like, what in the fuck are you doing? This guy's turning beet red, completely embarrassed. Never saw him after that. Never did.
Yeah, you know. Probably scared him off. All right, guys, another thing I want to get into is you go into a restaurant on a Friday night, place is packed out, you hardly even find a parking spot. So you go up to the host. You know, you want to put your name down on the list, party of three. They tell you an hour. I cannot stand when the customer looks at me and says, an hour? An hour wait? You expect me to wait an hour? I'm sorry, sir, but it's a Friday night. We're packed out, and you see there's nowhere to stand. I mean, come on. Go have a drink at the bar and just wait it out. We'll be with you. We don't forget about you. And another thing I can't stand is people that nag me every 5 minutes about, is my table ready yet? I see people getting up. Lady, I have a map in front of me. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing it long enough to know what I'm doing. So just bear with me. Give me some time. I told you it's going to be 30 minutes. Talk to me in 30 minutes. Then I'll help you out. But
No, it's crazy though. When we're up front, sometimes though, you do notice you give like, you know, usually if you got a good host up front, they're usually good with executing how long the wait is and everything. And you know, you're right though. You go out to eat on a weekend, especially on a weekend, there's a good restaurant is gonna have a wait. You know, if a restaurant has a wait, you know it's a good place to eat.
Absolutely.
If they're busy consistently, then you definitely know that the food's good, service has got to be good, and you're going to have a great experience. There are times that people feel, oh, this place is always too busy. Well,
there's a reason for it, guys.
They're doing something good. You know, I remember one time, I think it was when me and you, we went to that restaurant in the city, and we were told like a 15-minute wait, and the host just didn't know what she was doing.
Yeah.
And she kept us, I think she kept us waiting for about an hour.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me 15 minutes, cool. So I check back up with her in 15 minutes. Just give me another 15. You can't play the game where you're just going to say the wait time times by four every time I check with you, lady.
But see, that place, it didn't even matter, you know. It's in Manhattan. They're going to be busy no matter what. There's nothing you can do about that. She was intimidated.
I guess. Tell.
You know, it's rough sometimes to deal with that stuff.
Maybe it was me, maybe it was my looks, but she could have just told me an hour from the get.
You looked all suave that day, you know, you had it going down.
I thought my swag was on. I try to put it on every morning, guys. So guys, we definitely want to hear from you. Our email is restaurantweekly@yahoo.com, so hit us up, leave us some, you know, messages on how you feel about our podcast, how it's going so far, if you have some complaints from your past restaurant experiences, or if you work in the restaurant, you know, experience, just let us know what's going on.
Yeah, and if we suck, tell us we suck, you know, we definitely want to know.
Training on the go, guys, so, you know, bear with us.
Yeah, definitely, man. We're going to start, we got to get a Twitter account, I feel we should
we'll get that in the
Twitter,
works.
Facebook, you know, it seems like that's the way to go now, social networking.
Absolutely.
Even, you know, there's an app called OpenTable.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
OpenTable.com.
And what you do is you make your reservations at your table, and basically you make your reservations with your smartphone or over the internet, and it just has it there for you. You know, you don't even have to call no more. Things are just becoming so much more convenient when it goes out to dining. It's just ridiculous now, where the experience is just, it's so much more simpler now, where there's, telephones are just going to be gone soon, I feel.
Hey, man, soon waiters are going to be gone. I'm going to be replaced with an iPad.
Bullshit, they can't, yeah. Listen, an iPad can't make jokes. Oh. You got Siri, but that's fine. So, man, tell me, what is your most embarrassing experience? I want to hear about this.
All right, my most embarrassing, man, I can probably give you a couple, but my most embarrassing experience would probably be me going up to my table. It was a four top, I believe, a table of four. So I go up to them, greet myself, hey guys, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. I reach into my apron.
That was your name at the table, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, you know, hey guys, I'm Ebony, nice to meet you. Can I take your drink order today? Take the drink order. So I pull out my checkbook and I go in to take their order, and I don't have any guest check sheets in there to take the order. So I'm completely winging it off the top of my head now. I'm just going to try to remember this whole order. So first person tells me, all right, I'm going to take the lobster and steak. Cool. Next person tells me they want to try the seafood special. Cool. Now the third person probably put me in a loop, and they wanted to do different options, wanted to ask me about my mother and my brother, wanted to ask me if I was going to be allergic, if they would have got this with that. And I looked at her, got her order down. I walked away from the table, guys. Literally 10 minutes later, didn't even remember what she wanted. Now I'm talking about, I go up to the computer, I try to ring it in. I don't even want to mess it up because this is, we're talking about $100.
Wait a minute, did you wait
check.
10 minutes to ring in this order? Is that what you're telling me?
I put down about three different scenarios on paper of what they could have got, and none of them seemed right. So I had to bite the bullet on this one. So I went back to the table. Basically, I was like, guys, I'm very sorry, but I forgot your order. So let's start over. It was like a redo, and I think everybody deserves one. And I got my one. They kind of laughed. They really didn't mind it too much.
When I was a server, when I was a busser, I mean, there was a waiter that used to be like, hey, do me a favor, man. Go to that table and tell them that the printer jammed. That's why I learned that printer.
Poor busboy.
I had to do it. I had to walk over to the table and be like, hey, your printer jammed. Can we, what was your order? You had this, and then you had, you know, it worked out a lot, but it was just, I was the guinea pig to be sent over to do that a lot when I was young. And that's, maybe that's where I learned my ideas, you know, always think of a good excuse to
do that. Yeah, because for some reason, people, they don't like it when you mess up their order.
Would you be mad if I messed up your order?
I mean, I'm an understandable guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel maybe sometimes I don't have that patience either, though, because I expect everyone to be serving the way I know, like, our staff and
you're right.
People I know. And I expect, you know, how they're going to be. And when I get that kind of service for people, they forget things. They, you know, I've been to restaurants where the server just memorizes everything. They screw the whole shit up.
Oh, man.
And I think in my head, I'm like, I memorize all my orders, though. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, how are you going to screw this up? And I think, well, I don't screw it up. But, you know, it's a pain in the ass. You know, you want to get angry about it because you think in your head, it's something that I do all the time. How can you not do this correctly?
Gotta execute, guys.
But, you know, I like that one about how you forgot things. But, dude, the best one I remember a long time ago, you know, I got a customer doing a business lunch. And basically, I spilled a drink all over the guy.
Oh, man.
All over the guy, man.
Really?
Right on his back. Guy's dancing at the table.
What was he drinking?
Oh, it's a diet soda.
Oh,
so it's ice cold, and he's dancing and everything. And it was just a crazy, crazy time, you know. And then the other experience I had, I almost poisoned a customer once.
Wow.
I had a customer allergic.
Wow.
And I was oblivious to the whole situation. And the customer couldn't have garlic.
Okay.
So I give the customer a mushroom marinated in garlic, not realizing that it was done that way. And I'm freaking out. The lady's in the bathroom throwing up.
Oh,
I'm thinking,
man.
Oh, my God, I killed this lady. And I'm in the back. Everyone's telling me, relax. You know, I'm still young. I think I was like 21 at the time.
Looking at 20 years in jail.
Exactly. I'm thinking in my head, oh, my God. You know, first of all, I already know. There goes your tip. You're fucked from that.
Oh, man. Forget the tip. You're talking about the lady's life.
Hey, come on. I was a young kid. I'm thinking of every aspect right now. And, you know, at the last minute, actually, they were understanding. They let it go. And it was just mind-blowing, though. I think in my head, I'm like, wow, you know, it's such a detail that you didn't pay attention to.
But here's something. Did they tell you that they were allergic to garlic?
Yes.
Oh, I mean.
That's why I said I was completely oblivious.
You got to be
alert. I was completely oblivious to the ingredients that were in the food at the time.
Ooh.
That's what killed me.
Got to know what you're serving.
Exactly.
Got to know.
You know, and it could have been a very tragic event. And thank God it wasn't.
So what are we talking about? Ambulance here or?
No. Everything worked out.
Okay.
Thank God. You know, then 2 weeks later, I get a guy who is allergic to beans.
Ooh.
And he orders a bean soup that the restaurant I was at, they had. And I wanted to, like, he didn't tell us.
Oh, okay.
His wife comes over and goes, oh, he's sick. He's have Lady, he ordered a bean soup. He knows he's allergic. What in the fuck would he be ordering that for? So
I mean,
she even looks like maybe he's trying to kill himself. That's what she said to me.
Suicide by restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. So, man, what just happened with this? We had to pause for a minute because we had a couple of deliveries coming in we had to sign for. What's up with this guy? He doesn't like you?
Yeah, well, it's not that he doesn't like me. Every time he calls up, he wants to talk to the owner. He wants to talk to the GM. Basically, he's a salesman who wants to sell us something. We don't need it. We get it from another company.
But now we're carrying this product. I mean, he comes in, he's giving you this weird look now.
Well, I think right away, he just heard my voice and he knew I was the guy who's been pushing him off the last 2 weeks, but hey.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, at least it worked out, but it's just kind of funny that, you know, we're walking downstairs and you're telling me this. I'm like, yo, we got to talk about this
one. Oh, man, right? Talk about it.
You know, the best is when you get those telemarketer calls. Then they call and they're like, can I speak to the owner of the business and everything? You know what my favorite thing to do is?
Click.
I tell the host whenever I'm training them, I go, they go, can I speak to the owner of the business? I say, sure, hold on 1 second. Click, hang right up on
Absolutely.
It. And then they call back.
Yeah, they always call
I'm like,
back.
Oh, you answer this phone call this time.
I mean, right off the bat, if you pick up the phone and they're asking you if the building has insurance on it, click, don't want to hear it.
No, usually it starts off with, like the best is now they're actually learning how to avoid this, where they'll be like, hey, how are you? How's it going? And they're like, good. And immediately they'll start talking to you like your best friend. They go, oh, by the way, is the owner around?
Then trying to sell me something.
Best is when you say, what's their name then?
Yeah.
Though, you know what killed me? One of the telemarketers, this guy that used to work with us, he gave the telemarketers my name.
Oh, man.
So they'd be calling for me, and the host would be like, hey, you got a phone call. And I'm like, who is it? They're like, I don't know. They just said the best. I don't know. They just asked for you by name. So I get over, and I realize it's a telemarketer. I'm like, this motherfucker.
Oh, man.
I was ready to blow up on that, man. But, man, you know, I think this first episode went pretty well. You know, we got a little bit of complaining off our chest. And, you know, we got, like I said, we just want to hear from other people. And we can, you know, give us more topics, really. You know, if we can get more emails to restaurantweekly@yahoo.com, we'll just, you know, we'll talk about that stuff. And we'll probably start, I want to start getting a couple of our employees down here and let them talk about things.
Yeah, the more people to rant, the better.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of these people have some stories, and I feel getting them down here, you know, it'll be intriguing. I mean, I want to hear a lot of what these people, a lot of what our coworkers have dealt with. And it'll be kind of fun to know what they're dealing with and absolutely their opinion on things.
I mean, we could even get some of the back of the house in here too, hear from their point of view.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the people said when they heard we were doing this podcast, they were like, "Can I complain about the coworkers?" And I was like, "Oh, definitely,
absolutely,
I want to."
A little inside beef.
Oh yeah,
that's always, you know, good.
I mean, they were talking about how we got this one guy that people worked with a long time ago. He basically like ignored all signs of doing work.
Oh yeah,
it was like he was allergic to doing any kind of work, and you would find him avoiding things. It would be like he'd have to go get ice, and all of a sudden he'd disappear.
Yeah,
and he'd be like, "Where the fuck is this guy? We need some ice." So now, all right, someone else is getting it, and this guy would find any excuse to disappear.
Let me tell you something about this guy. Let's just give him let's call him Louie. So, one time, Louie, he wanted to go home. It was the end of his shift. So, I'm the closer, and my duties as the closer is to, you know, check his side work. What's going on? Did you restock the fridge? Did you fold pizza boxes? Did you fold your napkins? You know, some of the daily operations that we have to go through. So, Louie comes up to me with his drop in his hand, you know, saying, "Can you sign me out? I'm ready to go home." So, I check his side work. Everything looks good. His napkins were there, the fridge was stocked, pizza boxes were there. So I signed him to go home, and as he walks out the door, I walk into the bar, and I see table 13, table 22, table 21 filled with customers. I say, wait a minute. Louie, this is your section. You can't go home when you have customers. Louie's already out the door. Louie's home.
He screwed you that night.
Yep, definitely. But hey.
Well, that's why, you know, people that work in restaurants, they understand that, you know, there's going to be side work, basically, for people that don't know,
sucks.
You know, is basically it's what you have to do at the end of the shift to bring the restaurant back up to par for the very next day.
Yes.
And it involves a lot of things. For example, our places, we have a to-go area. We have you have to cut lemons and limes the night before for the next day. You have to set up a dessert area. You have to cut fresh cheese, cut fresh parsley, things like that. Restocking the refrigerator, cleaning your section, filling your salt and peppers, and we do things like that to keep the place clean and everything. And a lot of employees always try to sneak out on it, and that's where a lot of people get personal issues with each other.
Yeah.
Because they feel it's a matter of laziness.
You want to start a beef with me? Don't fold your napkins.
Yeah, I mean, it really, we got a lot of people that I work with, a lot of people that have that attitude of they're neo-Nazi when it comes down to checking that work, man. You see them with the white glove on and everything. And you know what, though? I think it's a great thing, though. Because then you realize, wow, this restaurant is very clean.
And you know, to have a person like that.
It's funny to see them do it, but on the other hand, you do realize what benefits
yeah.
come out of it.
And to have a person like that that's going to be in the restaurant like that, you can't ask for more. I mean, that's just a great employee.
Yeah. A lot of people do have their passion for working in the hospitality business, and some people just don't. It's something that they do.
Yeah. It's either you're in it or you're not. There's no middle ground.
Well, there are a lot of people that are in that middle ground, and they just feel that it's something that I just do. And that's something you just got to get past.
Yeah.
All right, man. What do you think, man? Why don't we just wrap up this week's episode?
Sounds good.
Let's go take some tables and make some cash.
Yeah, so just to let you guys know one more time, our email is restaurantweekly@yahoo.com. The Twitter's in the works. So if you guys want to, you know, rant to us, we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. Agree with you, disagree with you, whatever works. So definitely let us know, guys.
All right. This is Ebony and Ivory signing out for the week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.